Hello, this is Sharon, and I'm welcoming you to the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, May 6th, 2026. As always, we begin our reading on the front page. This article is entitled Higher Education, ISU AFSCME Deal May End Strike. Striking AFSCME Local 1110 members and Illinois State University reached a tentative agreement on a new union contract late Monday night, union and ISU officials announced shortly before midnight. During the sixth meeting with a federal mediator on Monday, May 4th, Illinois State University and AFSCME Local 1110 reached a tentative agreement, ISU officials said, in a statement issued early Tuesday. No details of the agreement will be released until after ratification has been completed. American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Local 1110 members will next have the opportunity to review and vote on the tentative agreement at ratification meetings, after which highlights of the agreement will be shared, the union said in a statement. Local 1110 employees have been on strike since April 8th and had insisted upon retroactive pay and participation in the university's campus wage program, which offers union employees greater wage increase when their management receives an increase above their yearly guarantee. Although these workers remain on strike, picketing was suspended on Tuesday as the ratification process was underway. The union represents more than 300 building, dining, and food service workers at the Normal campus. Andrew Franson, a sophomore history education major at ISU and Local 1110 member, said the campus is run by organized labor. Without it, the campus is nothing. These workers have inspired many across campus, across this community, and across the state to stand up for themselves, Franson said. They've taught me a lot about what it means to be proud of organized labor. Although he expressed relief that the strike was ending, Franson also said he was frustrated it had to go on for so long in the first place. I want to be proud of ISU, but that gets increasingly difficult the more that this administration tries to thwart its own community for profits, he said. I think admin underestimated the power of the working class and really learned a hard lesson that we will not be exploited, we will not be silenced, and we will not stand for mistreatment. ISU would bring in multiple outside contractors to supplement its workforce during the strike. However, the hiring of these contractors was challenged in court by the AFSCME Council 31, which argued that their temporary hiring was in violation of the state's Employment of Strikebreakers Act. A temporary restraining order barring the use of these contractors was dismissed last week. McLean County Judge Rebecca Foley ruled that because it was illegal for employees of the state or public universities to strike when the law was adopted, the statute's definitions couldn't apply to a public university. 2 weeks ago, close to 7,000 signed petitions were submitted to ISU President Andover Tarhuel, calling on the university to return to the bargaining table. Multiple elected officials also urged a speedy resolution to the labor dispute, including Governor J.B. Pritzker, GOP gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, U.S. Representative Eric Sorensen, Illinois Representative Sharon Chung, and Illinois Senator Dave Kohler. Local business, shops, new haunt. Painted Wrath brings unusual macabre to Towanda Plaza. The Painted Wrath Curiosity Shop, owned by Mike and Stephanie Stoltz, is officially reopened to the public at a new location in Towanda Plaza. We absolutely have loved our time downtown, but it was a little less than 600 square feet, and we just kind of outgrew it after that much time and the growth of the business and stuff, Stephanie Stoltz said. We kind of hit the ceiling and we just needed to expand. The Oddity Shop, specializing in all things strange, unusual, and macabre, was at 106 West Monroe Street for the last 4.5 years. But now customers can find the Painted Wrath at 1210 South Towanda Avenue, Suite 13 in Bloomington, between the Garden Quartz and Mowgli Outfitters. The shop's last day downtown was April 25th, and the Stoltzes have spent the next 9 days moving into their new location with double the space. They held a soft reopening Tuesday morning with the hopes of hosting a larger grand reopening later this month. The customers who came in Tuesday morning seemed excited to visit the new space, the owner said. The Painted Wrath will be open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sundays. If you love to support the local art community, 100% stop by. We are all about supporting the community and supporting local artists, said Stephanie Stoltz. And what isn't local in our store, we try our best to get it from mom-and-pop stores, independent artist makers from around the country. She said they had been looking for a new space over the last year and were encouraged by their new neighbor, the Garden Quartz. The Crystal Shop owners informed them of an open storefront next door after vacating the space to move down in the shopping center. As for their former location, the Monroe Street storefront might have a new occupant soon, selling soaps and candles using ingredients from their own farm, the Stoltzes noted. The husband-wife duo said they started out as two weird, artsy kids who wanted to share their unique creations and love of weird art. This grew into a community of like-minded people, and the store became a sort of safe space where other artsy people with a love of oddities could feel accepted. They said they hope to continue hosting events and bringing more people together in their new space. The Painted Wrath now has t-shirts and novelty candy items in addition to original artwork, antique medical tools, taxidermy, vintage funeral items, crystals, and more. We're all about supporting small creators just like we are, small artists ourselves, trying to put our weird creations into the world, Stephanie Stoltz said. That's what we encourage in the community, whether it's through the artist trading card swaps that we do, or our events that we do, or just having things in our shop, like we love supporting local and supporting small creators. Mike Stoltz said the new location provides more space to display their art as well as more parking. The store owners also have developed partnerships with nearby businesses with the hope of hosting art classes and other activities. They are also considering inviting local artists to perform acoustic music on the weekends. I tried to make it look as much like the old space as possible. We got ceiling tile inserts for all the rooms to give them a little bit of pizzazz back. Brought our curtains back, and it's the same wall color. I put brick paneling up on the back wall to give it that sense that when you walk in, it's all the old familiar things. And then as you progress through the space, it's version 2.0, Mike Stoltz said. So it's still us, it's just an extension. The store will continue to host its annual events, including the Painted Wrath Art and Odd Market on August 15th and the Yuletide Market with Bloomington Spice Works on December 12th, both held at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. The Painted Wrath also will be among the 50 vendors taking part in Mowgli Outfitters' Hometown Local Market from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., June 27th through 28th in Towanda Plaza. Again, the Painted Wrath Curiosity Shop is now located at 1210 South Towanda Avenue, Suite 13 in Bloomington. Their hours are 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturdays, and 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. To contact them, you can email them at thepaintedwrath@gmail.com, call them at 309-590-6766, or visit their website, thepaintedwrath.com. Education. Schools gender ideology targeted. District 87, Ridgeview, part of DOJ investigation. Bloomington District 87 and Ridgeview schools in Colfax are among the 36 Illinois school districts being targeted in federal investigations into whether these institutions teach about sexual orientation and gender ideology and whether parents can opt out of such curricula. The inquiry announced last week by the U.S. Department of Justice also will assess whether the 35 school districts around the state, plus Chicago's largest charter school network, allow transgender students to use single-sex bathrooms or participate in competitive sports. In a statement, District 87 officials said the DOJ had informed the district it is commencing a Title IX compliance review related to certain curricula, policies, practices, programs, and activities. The DOJ's notice did not say what prompted the investigation or why the districts, which range from rural schools with extremely small enrollment to one of the largest districts in Illinois, were targeted, and the agency did not respond to a request for clarification. But last Thursday's announcement did point to a June 2025 U.S. Supreme Court decision that requires school districts to allow opt-outs for LGBTQ-related lessons in the classroom, plus a more recent March ruling blocking a California policy that allowed schools to keep a student's gender transition private from their parents. This Department of Justice is determined to put an end to local school authorities keeping parents in the dark about how sexuality and gender ideology are being pushed in classrooms, Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon said in a news release. According to the statement from District 87, the school district respects the DOJ's obligations and will cooperate with the review of these materials. The letter from the DOJ indicates the department has not reached any conclusions regarding the curricula and other matters. Our priority remains what it has always been, providing safe, welcoming, and engaging learning environments for all students while supporting our teachers and staff in the important work they do every day, Superintendent David Mauser said in the prepared statement. We will respond appropriately to the DOJ's requests and will continue to work in good faith to ensure clarity and compliance with applicable education requirements. Ridgeview District officials did not respond to a request for comment regarding this DOJ investigation. The Assistant Attorney General is the Trump administration's key lawyer on civil rights issues. As Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, Dillon oversees the Title IX Special Investigations Team, a joint effort between the DOJ and the U.S. Department of Education that was launched last year. Supreme Court precedent leaves no doubt. Parents have the fundamental right and primary authority to direct the care, upbringing, and education of their children, Dillon said. This includes exempting their children from ideological instruction that contradicts their values or decisions about their children's health and best interests. In a statement, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker dismissed the inquiry as the Trump administration continuing to punish states the president does not like, calling it a sham investigation. The Civil Rights Division used to investigate actual discrimination concerns to ensure all individuals are treated equally under the law, but they're now focused on belittling the rights and humanity of LGBTQ plus communities, he said. In 2019, Pritzker signed legislation requiring Illinois public schools' history curriculum include a study of the roles and contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in the history of this country and this state. But Thursday's news release made no mention of that law. During a visit to Normal this week, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat from Springfield, told reporters this DOJ investigation and others like it trouble him because they're making an impact that is not in the best interest of the country. Let me be specific. If you talk to the presidents of most major universities in Illinois and around the country, they will tell you that there's been a fall off of foreign students coming into the United States. They don't feel welcome. They feel threatened, Durbin said on Monday. The decisions by the administration to arrest and deport them have given them pause as to whether or not they want to come to the United States. The retiring senator said now the best and brightest who used to come to the U.S. to study and make a living are now staying home or going elsewhere. Why are we doing this to ourselves and to them? I mean, it just doesn't make sense at all. I hope that there's a message to the president in November about his policies, Durbin said. In a prepared statement last week, he said all the DOJ will find is 36 Illinois school districts dedicated to providing their students with a good, well-rounded education. If the Trump administration truly cared about supporting Illinois students and their education, it would reverse the decision to dismantle the Department of Education, finally support Head Start programs, and stop attacking Title I funding and the rights of LGBTQ plus students, Durbin said. Instead, this president is once again weaponizing DOJ to carry out a sham investigation against a state that did not vote for him in the 2024 election. U.S. Representative Eric Sorensen, Democrat from Moline, also spoke in Normal on Monday and described the DOJ investigation as a political distraction by the Trump administration. They're going to give us anything to look at other than the gas approaching $5 a gallon, Sorensen said. He visited Fairview Elementary School during his visit and said he saw the importance of students receiving a strong education. Sorensen criticized the Trump administration for seeking to cut community school funding, saying educators could lose their jobs on June 30th. Am I surprised that he sends the DOJ to a blue state like Illinois to try to make waves, to try to get us to look away from the fact that he's cutting the education of our students? I'm not going to look away, Sorensen said. Sorensen ultimately called the investigation a political strike against the moms and dads who are doing their best to raise their kids. Ed Yonka with the ACLU of Illinois said the Trump administration is wrongly interpreting both federal and state law, which he said are both clear, that students have an ability to play on sports teams and to use private areas consistent with their gender identity. Yonka also said it was ironic that the Trump administration brought to power by Republicans who generally oppose government overreach was trying to limit local control of school districts. None of these schools need some ideological culture warrior in Washington, D.C., telling Watsika what their curriculum should be, he said. The notion that Justice Department is going to launch investigations and divert money for education because the president signed a piece of paper is just a misuse of our tax dollars. Yonka said he wasn't aware of any pattern among the three dozen districts the DOJ is investigating. But one school official from rural Northwest Illinois has an emerging operational theory. In a social media post on Friday, Oregon Community Unit School District 220 Superintendent P.J. Capozzi said he didn't have definitive answers from the DOJ as to why his district was included, but he posted it may have something to do with the district's participation in a federal school violence prevention program grant. To be absolutely clear, this does not confirm that grant participation is the reason for inclusion, nor can we state that as a fact, he wrote. It is simply one possible connection being explored as we work to better understand the broader picture. Today's Flick Fact question. There's a survey, poll, or ranking for everything now. So today we ask, of the 30 Major League Baseball teams, which has the most polite and the most foul-mouthed fans? That's interesting. Well, according to VegasInsider.com, yes, there really is such a thing, using social media posts and a series of other online metrics, the most polite fans are St. Louis Cardinal fans, followed by the Baltimore Orioles and the Washington Nationals. Cubs fans checked in at a respectable 8th. The most foul-mouthed? The Oakland Athletic fans lead that parade, followed by the Boston Red Sox and then the Los Angeles Angels fans, who are apparently not always angels. From the past pages of the Pantograph, How Time Flies Locally. 100 years ago, on May 6th, 1926. This is the fruit tree blossom period in Bloomington, and in nearly every yard there is a wealth of bloom adding beauty to the landscape. Led by gorgeous magnolias, some especially attractive trees are noticeable in the yards of Paul Beitsch, L.M. Crowthwaite, and others. Illinois, a land of loveliness at all seasons, now appears in its most charming mood. 75 years ago, on May 6, 1951, a new Mennonite church at University and Church Street in Normal is scheduled to be completed about July 1st. The building is made of white Indiana limestone and is being constructed by J.L. Roan and Sons. 50 years ago, on May 6, 1976, with the sale of Emerson School put under its belt last week, the Bloomington School Board decided Wednesday night to put Jefferson School to use next year as a district warehouse and administration center. And 25 years ago today, on May 6, 2001, A decade ago, there was widespread concern that Illinois might run out of landfill space before the year 2000. But the most recent report on the state's landfill capacity says there is enough room for the trash for another 16 years. What changed? A spokeswoman for the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has a theory that is endorsed by an official of the most active landfill in central Illinois. Landfills are larger generally. It's become a bigger business, said Maggie Carson. That's a far cry from the warning Carson's agency issued in 1990 when it predicted that Illinois could be out of landfill space in another 6 years. Carson said landfills are becoming larger in acreage at the same time that techniques for compacting garbage improve, thus creating more space in one location. She also noted that increased recycling efforts have made a positive impact on preserving landfill space. Normal Community High School faces school threat. Normal police are investigating after a threat was reported on Tuesday morning at Normal Community High School. All Normal Community students and staff were relocated to a secure reunification site after McLean County Unit 5 learned of the threat, according to a news release from the Normal Police Department. Normal Police said the school received a call at about 8 a.m. reporting a threat. The department did not specify what type of threat. Officers helped with the relocation process while securing the school and the property. Normal Police Department is working in coordination with local and state partners to investigate the source and nature of the threat, according to their release. Public Information Officer Brad Park said no injuries were reported in connection to this incident. After the relocation, students were dismissed for the day, and normal school operations are expected to resume today, Wednesday. No further information was immediately available at the time of publishing. The Normal Police Department asked community members to use caution when sharing unverified information on social media. Normal Police and the Unit 5 will provide updates as more information becomes available. Anyone with information related to this threat incident is asked to contact the Normal Police Department by calling 309-454-9535. Anonymous tips can be submitted through TIP 411 by sending a text message to 847411 with the phrase Normal PD followed by a space and then the tip. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the pantograph for today, Wednesday, May 6th, 2026. Please stay tuned.